Hey guys, welcome to the Brew the Truth podcast. Today is episode 9. You got the hosts here, Dull Oxide and Drunk Joe. We're going to crack some open.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it didn't come off clean. See, look, it was nonsense with the... Put that wrapper on it, so like you open it up, but it doesn't actually come all the way off.
Yeah,
you
know? No, I see.
It's really annoying.
And tonight I'm drinking a Winmer Brothers Hef, and it looks like you have a Modelo.
Correcto. Mm. It is a Modelo Especial.
You can find all of our previous episodes on the Drinking Wiseman YouTube channel, along with my three
Wait,
time
this
a week.
Recorded?
What?
This shit gets recorded. You told me this was a live stream.
that'd be really cool to do a live stream. And we'll talk about live streaming a little bit later, but not necessarily about us live streaming. So, that being said... Nice. That being said, you can find my three-time-a-week podcast on there also. Please do like, comment, subscribe to these videos. If you got any suggestions for future videos, let us know. We're going to go ahead and... We both already took a drink, so we'll go right into our first topic, I think.
You didn't say cheers.
You didn't say cheers either.
Because you already took a drink.
So, for those of you that don't know, the card game Gwent from The Witcher is actually getting its own game. So, that's what we're going to talk about.
Hold on, slow down. The Witcher is a game. Mm. And now, there's a Gwent game.
Correct.
How is it? I don't understand. What is the connection?
Gwent was the card game in The Witcher.
Wait, The Witcher had a game in a game?
You're being... Stop.
So it should be titled Gwentception.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk... I can change the title later, maybe.
Gwentception. It should totally have been called Gwentception. You need to run these by me, all right?
Yeah.
These segment names need to be, you know, a little more, you know, QC, you know?
All right, well, next time I'm setting up, you can have all creative rights. All right, Drunk Joe, next time.
Oh,
all
shit.
Him.
Pressure.
So, I actually haven't, I've only watched Witcher be played. I haven't seen any Gwent gameplay, but I do know it's a card game. I don't know what type of card game it's similar to.
I'm so glad you know that the segment that we're talking about, you know the subject matter.
Yes.
You didn't even play The Witcher 3?
No.
Oh, well, okay, here I am. I'm giving you shit about not playing The Witcher 3. I didn't play The Witcher 1 or 2, so never mind.
Yeah,
I will cease my shit talking.
I wasn't going to play Witcher 3 until I beat, I think it was Dark Souls, and I got a little bit into Dark Souls, and then I basically just didn't have the time, so...
You might as well play Bloodborne 2, because you'll never finish those games.
Yeah, basically. So... if you could you make a comparison to some of the games that some of the other card games that are out that I might know about?
You know, I don't think Gwent really has an equal. Let me just kind of walk you through real quick a standard turn here. Mm-hmm. So you start out, you get 10 cards per, and then if I remember right, like there's a card that you can like throw away one or something like that at the beginning. I can't remember.
Mulligan.
But anyway, so you start out with like a leader card, right? And your leader card has a special ability. So like most of the time it's like, you know, grab this specific card from your deck and instantly play it. That's mostly what a leader card gives you, which is everybody's got one leader. And then you can play the cards on your turn. And there's three rows of battle. And each of you have three rows.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is melee combat, the next one back is ranger combat, and the next one back from that is siege equipment. So the main mechanic is, you know, putting things in a row in one of your battle rows and then not having them... and you don't actually fight during the rounds. So this is what's weird about it. You just put shit down on the battlefield, and then whoever has more power at the end wins the fucking round.
Okay.
And you do a best of three. But because you don't fight... The only way to change the numbers is to like play a card like I want to say there's one for each row. Like you play like summer or winter bite or something like that, and that takes away all the siege rows power down to one. Okay. So and then there's like in Magic, you know, the banding mechanic.
Yeah.
So like let's say you put down like four of the same card. Mm-hmm. In the same row, if they have it on their card, they can like double each other and it stacks. So if there's 4 1-1s and they all stack, they become 4 4 4s.
Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's little mechanics like that, but there was nothing crazy about it. But I remember because it took me a little while to get started on it because I was just playing The Witcher 3, and I was like part of like the end of one of the first quests, the first like major quest you do. It's like, you're going to play the mayor in Gwent. And I'm like, what? I've avoided this game. I've avoided playing this shit all of game, and now you're telling me it's important? Fuck! So I like lost to him, and then I didn't get like a good card because of it. And then I started caring about it, so I started like playing everybody.
Yeah, I had heard that from The Witcher, in the game Gwent, you can just spend basically all your time playing that and enjoy the hell out of Witcher 3. So yeah. It was kind of interesting to me that it was in there, and then I had heard from somebody that there may be individual Gwent game coming out, and so that kind of got me a little excited, because I actually do really like card games and deck building games, and I've been playing them for over half of my life now, so there's probably no reason I wouldn't play this unless it was pay to win, in which case I just do not like pay to win games.
Yeah,
neither. But I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping it's more like Hearthstone, where you can earn your cards and, you know, level up and things like that.
Well, so I've got a theory, all right? Mm-hmm. And this is like the real headline here is that it's not just a card game, right? I mean, right now it's going to be because it's beta,
yeah.
And that's all they have done. But if you see the trailer, they actually show you that they're putting in like a little, you know, isometric Witcher view in there. And I think that the game is going to play similar to Pokemon, okay, where you take your cards, your Pokemon, into different areas of the game, and you beat, you know, gym trainers / you know, bars with Gwent people in them to progress to the next area of the game. That's how I think it's going to be played. Now, if that's the case, I think they've got a winner in terms of like a casual standalone game. So I actually am looking forward to it.
So you're thinking it's more going to be like Hearthstone does have this. You could play through the solo adventures, I guess you would call them. And
but there's no movement. Like, you just go from, it's like Mortal Kombat. You go from fight to fight to fight, right?
Yeah, basically. And there are different cards that are incorporated inside of different matches and things like that. So you're saying that in Gwent, you're going to actually have to travel somehow.
I believe that to be the case. They showed some screenshots and videos of that. You know, it might have just been some bullshit teaser, like, oh, there's gonna be a cutscene played between
the teaser looked pretty fucking cool to me.
Trailer was wicked.
Yeah,
the teaser was cool. Like,
I watched the trailer, and the
teaser kind of shows you a little more. The trailer is just like a cinematic, you know, showing the main characters playing Gwen. That's all that was. But, it's a good idea. I have mixed feelings about games going into open beta before their finished game, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, yeah, basically. So, pretty exciting. Looks pretty cool. Probably going to play it. I hope they have player versus player so you and I can play each other, because obviously you'll probably play some. I mean, I don't know. I've got a pretty like high aptitude for these card games. So, well, we'll see. But
we'll see.
That'll definitely be pretty exciting. Let's go ahead and we'll move on to the next topic then, unless you want to add anything else.
Just a segue, because while you're playing Gwent, what better way to explain how the game is played than by streaming it on your brand new Mixer page?
So,
but, you know, nobody's going to do that because fuck Mixer.
Yeah. well, I mean, not necessarily fuck Mixer. So if anyone doesn't know what Mixer is.
Whoa, it's a fuck Mixer? Damn, I read this all wrong.
So for anyone that doesn't know what Mixer is Microsoft's answer to Amazon's Twitch, okay?
Whoa, that's not fair, because Amazon didn't make Twitch. Amazon bought Twitch. And Microsoft didn't buy Mixer. Microsoft made Mixer.
Okay, well, before it was Mixer, it was called something else. It was called a Beam, I think. And so Beam didn't really catch on, so they decided to rebrand it. is what it's looking like here. And
they made Beam. They didn't buy Beam.
Okay,
Amazon bought Twitch.
Yeah, but so what? They bought Twitch. It's Amazon's Twitch now. It's not Twitch's Twitch.
No, I know. I believe that there is a disparity in knowledge of what is created by somebody and what is purchased by somebody. Apple buys things and they make things.
So Microsoft made a streaming software that they're now rebranding.
So far, I could be wrong, but as far as I know,
Amazon owns a streaming software. So Microsoft is trying to compete with the currently owned by Amazon Twitch.
Yes.
Now, their competitor is called Mixer, which is the rebranding of Beam. And the biggest difference between the two that I have read so far is that Mixer is supposed to be instantaneous streaming.
Which I'm sure that's like a second, you know, like,
I mean, they
whatever your lag is.
Yeah, you know. I'm sure there's got to be something. But to anyone that streams or watches streams on Twitch, you know that there could be anywhere between, even with a reduced delay, which I think is like,
it's like
at
7
its
seconds.
Best is like 6 or 7 seconds.
Yeah.
You could still even buffer it like 30 seconds in the case that, you know, you just want to, basically.
No, you can buffer it a long time if you don't want people, like,
yeah.
If you're playing a competitive game, you don't want people to ghost, you delay it like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, and some people do, but most people want to do it as live can be, because then you're able to answer your chat and things like that.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Pretty interesting that they're deciding to get into this now. I'm not sure what exactly they're thinking, because Twitch has pretty much been dominating this for years.
Well, they're thinking that they can cut into the market, and they think they can do it by offering this new feature. The good thing about this, I think, is that it's going to get Twitch off its ass and add this, you know, instantaneous feature. And I think they'll only do it to, you know, Twitch partners, or, you know, they'll have some kind of restriction so not everybody's streaming instant.
But I think
they'll answer it.
Like, I agree, and I think that's cool that it will get them off their ass, because I hate the delay on Twitch. But I mean, they have to compete with, I mean, not really compete with all of these people, because obviously there are different levels of the competition, if you will. But YouTube has YouTube Live. All right, Twitch has their Twitch streaming. Facebook has Facebook Live.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's like those are pretty much, and this will be pretty much the big four, I'd say, that you're going to have. And
yeah, and I just don't, to top it off, Apple had Apple FaceTime or whatever, but they still don't have a broadcasting medium.
Yeah, exactly. So I just don't – I don't know why it would make sense to them. You know, it just doesn't – I guess they just wanted to jump on the bandwagon, because, you know, Google had something, Amazon had something, Facebook had something, and the only, like, billion-dollar company that didn't have something was basically Microsoft, so –
Well, you got to look at it from a couple different angles too. Like, it's not just Microsoft is doing what everybody else is doing. It's Microsoft is trying to do what everybody else is doing better than they are. That remains to be seen. I've never used Mixer. I never intend to, honestly. But just like Microsoft suite of applications, the Excel, Google, the Word, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Google did its own. The Microsoft one is still more comprehensive. It's still more work-oriented.
And so way, way more expensive compared to free.
Yeah, but if you're a business, it might actually be attractive. So
yeah.
Microsoft is just doing Microsoft does. They try to make the best software they can. They don't always succeed, but they try. And I don't think this will be a big hit or anything, but it's just – you know, it's just another thing. They still maintain the Edge browser. I mean,
if they decide that they're going to do the zero downtime, I'm curious at what exactly we're going to have to give up to do that. So, for instance, Twitch only allows you to stream at 720 if you're not a partner,
right?
And basically,
okay.
So it could be zero delay if you're streaming at like maybe like 480. You know, maybe there's some kind of in between that it throws off on there.
Because I'd like to see it go to 1440p and 4K streams. I don't need a 4K stream. I need a good 1080 stream.
Does Twitch even have 4K streams right now?
I don't think so. I don't think they even do 1440.
No, I'm pretty sure 1080 is the top even for a partner.
Yeah, 1080 at 60 frames is the top that I think they do. And
I think YouTube allows up to 4K for recorded video, but for live video, I don't believe they go that high either. I think they only go to 720.
Yes. I would like to see, though, 1080, 60 frames at a high bit rate, because even if you have high resolution, the bit rate is still king in terms of quality. As soon as they get the bit rates up there, 1080 actually looks really good. Like, I have a 4K TV, and I'm pretty sensitive to, like, frame refreshes and resolutions and everything. I watched the Jessica Jones Netflix in 4K on my TV. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it on an Apple TV at 1080p output. It's not that big a difference. I mean, I want it to be big difference because I spent the money on the 4K TV.
Yeah. No,
it's really not.
I agree. Most people – I don't want to say – I don't want to pull you in with most people, but I'm going to say most people can't even see the difference.
Well, obviously, it's not, you can't see it. You can't see it at the distances that you watch it. If you sat right up close to it, absolutely. But when you go back – like, I was looking at my screen, like, maybe 6 inches away, and I was like, it's so clear! But, like, when the hell are you watching TV 6 inches away? Like, come on.
Yeah, it's practically never. And that's – so that's part of it is, you know, obviously quality is going to have something to do with it. But, and man, I had somewhere else where I was thinking with the quality. I just can't recall it right now. But, oh, geez, there was definitely something there.
Well, Twitch chat is still a thing. Like, Twitch chat mob is its own entity at this point. So, and Twitch is buying, like, they bought Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood because they were streaming that the other day. Mm-hmm. They bought Bob Ross. Like, they're accumulating a bunch of IP, and I just don't see how Microsoft benefits from this. They'll probably use it as like a social media platform for new games or something. But
I just remembered what I was going to say.
Okay,
so the biggest thing probably is that most people aren't even going to be able to stream in those kind of high resolutions without a tremendous amount of bandwidth.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
For instance, I'm on, I think, I guess it would be called the middle. Or
I think you said 100 megabits.
Middle. Yeah, I'm like at the above middle tier for my internet in my area. And even then, like, the highest that Twitch will let me go is like 3,000, the bitrate at like 3,500. For the
that's probably the most we could even support. With the upload speeds are pretty shitty,
and that actually allows to send 1080 video, but it obviously downgrades it once it gets through to Twitch and takes it down to 720. So there's no reason to send it because you're just sending a bigger file to send a bigger file for no reason.
Yeah,
so
although you can make the Twitch street servers work to down convert your video though.
Well, I actually don't know if. If you record on Twitch right now, or I'm sorry, not record, but if you stream on Twitch, it gets recorded on Twitch. I'm curious if you're giving them a 1080 output that's being streamed live, if it records at 1080 instead of at 720.
Interesting.
So I don't know how that works, but that's
almost like we should have this information before we start this stuff.
Well, I mean, possibly, but, you know, we're talking hypotheticals and, you know, we don't stream really. I mean, my girlfriend streams, but she's also not a pro streamer or anything, so.
But she's a grill.
True. So people watch.
Yeah. I watch.
Yeah.
The stream.
Mm-hmm. So
I just said it was creepy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's. We if we told you every time you were creepy, we just never stop telling you.
That's true. That's a good point.
So I'm interested to see what exactly they do. If they decided, I believe this is going to be a free service. And about the only benefit that I can really see from this is that since right now they're just starting, they probably don't have partners, which means that anyone getting in on it this early most likely can get a decent following through it, through the people that are using it. So you might be able to dominate Mixer even if you don't have like huge Twitch following or a YouTube following. So maybe we should do it.
You know, I just thought of something interesting. So this will be my last thing here on this.
Okay.
So I think this is a way that a new streaming service could etch its way in. Okay. If you had a central streaming receiver, okay, like Mixer,
okay,
and then Mixer was able to then output the stream that you're giving to Mixer to different streaming services. So you stream to Mixer, and then Mixer forwards your traffic over to the Twitch and over to YouTube Live. If Mixer did that, I think there's a chance.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, that'd be really good.
Because you don't want to send it three times.
Like that, and I feel like Blizzard actually started doing something like that with their Blizzard streaming.
Because I thought that was just to Facebook.
I'm pretty sure you can stream it to multiple places, but Facebook being the most interesting of them, because live stream directly to Facebook is kind of...
was pretty OP, yeah.
Yeah, like that's kind of like a very interesting connection that they've made. But also you can log in with Facebook now to Blizzard, which is kind of odd. And another thing, before we switch topics onto the next thing, you know, it's really weird to me that Blizzard is thinking about changing their app name, because it's been Battle.net forever. So I don't know if you heard about that, but they're thinking of changing it to Blizzard.
Oh, I didn't know they were changing it to Blizzard.
Yeah, I think they're changing it to Blizzard app instead of Battle.net.
Oh, yeah, that's right. App. I remember the app. Yeah. And,
like, people were like, no, that's really fucking dumb. I'm going to call it BNet till the day I die. And
it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but...
Wait. Another segue.
Okay.
So we already mentioned...
By the way, guys, I'm sorry. He's shit at this. Go ahead.
Hey. So we already mentioned open beta games, going to open beta really soon.
Mm-hmm.
We already mentioned games that you could stream.
Yep.
Well, this is a game that you could stream that is going to be in open beta in a couple years. And it's called Ashes of Creation.
Woo! Yay!
And there was much rejoicing. Yay.
So I actually don't know when you initially heard about Ashes of Creation, but I heard about it through you at around a week ago. So,
you're quite welcome, sir.
I watched the teaser trailer, whatever you might want to call it.
Kickstarter video.
Exactly, teaser trailer, whatever you might want to call it. And
Kickstarter video.
After doing so, I actually was considering the different purchases through Kickstarter, one of which was a lifetime subscription.
Well, hold on. You're going way too fast here, buddy. You're going way too fast.
No. All right. Maybe. But for those of you that don't know, Ashes of Creation is just an MMO. Now, I say just an MMO. Okay.
Just an MMO.
Because they've made quite a few promises, and they're in currently alpha, so... we don't actually know what the end result's going to be, but we know that they have a working alpha, at least, that looks
pretty
cool.
Before they went to Kickstarter, they had a closed alpha, and they still have a closed alpha.
Yes. So, there is some gameplay that you can find through videos on YouTube and whatnot.
Yes.
And the only thing that I think is a little
shady,
odd about this is the amount of money that they are asking for the amount of world, I guess you could say, that they're giving to us for it.
You're being ridiculous. Let me be the Ashes of Creation apologist. Please come to me with all of your concerns and I will answer you.
Okay, here's the thing. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Bloodstained, but Bloodstained was another Kickstarter game that was created by the same people that made Castlevania. Okay? The same producers, that is. So they were asking for $500,000 to get their shit funded, and they ended up getting $5.5 million. Okay.
Damn.
So Ashes of Creation, I think, was asking for $700,000, and right now they're at above $2 million, right?
$2.45 million this morning.
Yeah, so $2.45 million. And I can't help but think that if they had the same amount of backing as Bloodstained had, that the world that they could create would be fucking ridiculous. Whereas Bloodstained is a 2D Gothic Explorer, 2D with 3D aspect Gothic Explorer, and, you know, obviously it's not anywhere near as advanced as, like, an MMO. The amount of multiplayer and stuff, I see you're having the Modelo Black. I'm actually drinking... I'm actually Modelo. Drinking...
Are you trying to flex,
Newcastle.
Bro?
Nah. So
where's the label on this one? Oh, what an unfortunate angle.
I'm just thinking that you know, they seem to have they seem to be asking for so little for the amount that they're producing for this, because what they're producing just seems fucking astonishing. And if you want to kind of give everyone an idea of what they're telling us they're going to produce.
Yeah, no problem. All right. So a little bit of history about Stephen Sharif, who is the founder of Intrepid Studios and the game Ashes of Creation. No, what you got to understand is this guy started making money when he was like 15. Okay. He worked, I don't remember what he did exactly, but he worked at this like health, fruit, you know, dispenser thingy. And then instead, it's like a multi-level marketing site thing, but it was like a, you know, door-to-door sales thing.
Okay.
Well, instead he made a website and then had he made a marketing firm. So he had his marketing firm make a website for multi-level marketings. You know, I want to say scam because I fucking hate multi-level marketings, but like there's good ones out there, you know, like Mary Kay or whatever it's called.
Sure. I think
that's one. So there's a couple good ones out there. Anyway, I'm not saying this was a good one, but that's how he made his initial money nut, which was he made a website. It was successful. He made a bunch of money. Then he went into real estate, started making some investments, became a pretty savvy investor. He made, you know, like 30, 40, 50 million, right? And so he was like, I'm just going to sit on my ass. I don't need to do anything else. So he just invested his money. He's still doing that too, but he started playing MMOs because what the hell else are you going to do with your life? You know, if work doesn't interest you. Sure. So he just started playing MMOs. He played, you know, WoW. He played, I think the last one he was playing was Arc Age, if I'm remembering right. It's some Korean one, I think. Anyway, and he runs like big guilds too, like giant guilds. I mean, imagine you're a guy, you have a bunch of money, and you have a bunch of time. The perfect thing for you to do is to be a guild leader. Like, it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, you're going to manage people that you're going to have fun with, so.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's got this big-ass guild, right? And then he's, like, complaining nonstop about the pay-to-win. Even though he has the money, it's like, I don't want to log in and just spend, like, $600 on a, oh my god, is that a panda? I got to buy it, you know?
Yeah,
like, he doesn't like it because he knows that not everybody's rich like him, you know? So he's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to make my own MMO because you assholes haven't made one for me. So instead of playing a good game right now like he should be, because he's in America, okay, and he made a bunch of money, he doesn't have to work ever again, but he chose to. He sacrificed his time to bring us happiness. All right, so Stephen Sharif decided, I'm gonna make a video game, okay? So he's like 30 mil, 28 mil down in a rabbit hole of fucking funding this game. Okay, well, first of all, he went and bought people. He took people and bought people. He's a slave driver. He went and found people that have been making MMOs or video games in general, okay?
Yeah.
He had a bunch of meetings with them. He hired the ones he liked, especially one of them's, I think, Jeffrey Bard is his name. He worked on, like, Star Wars Galaxies. A couple people worked on EverQuest 1, EverQuest 2. Like, these are people that have been in the business, right? Now, they've been in the business of, in my opinion, like, failed MMOs. But, you know, they weren't making the whole game. They were making part of the game. So they just have experience, okay? So anyway, he got all these people together and he sunk, like I said, 28, 30 million. So he says, you know, we don't have proof of that, but that's what he says, into the game so far. Okay.
Okay.
He says that it's about 35 million now, but I'm saying by around the beginning of the year, he said he had sunk 28 to 30 million into the game. Okay. So they're already like 14, 15 months into development. They're in alpha. That's good. That's all good stuff. I've watched every Q&A that they've put out so far, the official ones.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I can tell, it would be a miracle if it came out in 2019, which I'm hoping for. But with all the stuff that they're adding to the game, I would not be surprised 2020 release at the, like, I'm not hoping for more than earlier than a 2020 release, okay?
Because right now they're quoting a 2018 release is what I think is on there.
They are not quoting a 2018 release. This is what you're thinking. You're thinking that the Kickstarter delivery date is the release date of the game. That is not the case. Kickstarter requires you to have a Kickstarter date, okay? And the earliest that they plan on releasing the beta is late 2018, okay? And I want to be in part of the beta. I haven't signed up yet. I haven't done Kickstarter yet. I'm working my way towards it. There's like 6 days left. I probably will, but only like a $50 one.
Okay, so with that,
I'm not done. You're
totally done.
I am not done, okay? So, So the overall theme of the you asked for this. The overall theme of the world is you start out, you come into the portal of your race. There's four races, and there's two sub races of each race. And actually, there's going to be five, one of the Kickstarter goals. So you come into the world through your race's portal, okay?
All right.
And then you get onto to a piece of land, and you start to do stuff. The more stuff that you do in that node, in that little area, the more it comes to life. And by come to life, I mean like a little village starts appearing, and the primary race that finds, that does the stuff in the node, that's the race of town that it becomes. Okay.
Okay.
And then based on geographical markers and you know, little influencing things around that area determines what kind of city it will become. There's a limit of five metropolises that takes many months to make. So the cool thing is, though, once those metropolises are made, you can take them down. Okay. But once a metropolis is made, a lot of the other nodes around it stop producing. So you can't actually like make a city right next to another city.
Yeah.
And the bigger the city is, the farther away the other one has to be. There's tons of limitation in that regard. They're the only way to move items. You can't like mail a bunch of items to your alt. You actually have to buy space on a caravan and transport the items on the caravan, and it has to move all the way through the world. There's almost no fast travel in this game. You can't go to Orgrimmar and port over to whatever. Walk there.
I thought it was weird that they didn't have a fast travel of some kind. Yeah. Because, like, if you were a different race from a friend, how do you play together, for instance? And I guess the answer is that you take the however long it takes to get from point A to point B and go from there.
But I would say so there's almost no difference between the races, so you're better off just
starting picking with your the friends.
Same. Yeah, I think so, yeah. Right. But every server's going to have the same world layout. I mean, I could go on forever, so I'll just stop there.
Yeah,
but what I want you to do is ask me a question of something that still like doesn't make sense to you, because I know you've watched a little bit of this stuff.
Okay, and I'll get to that, but I also wanted to explain a little bit about the dilemma I had with Kickstarter, which was specifically that they offer a lifetime subscription. The lifetime subscription is $485 right now. If you got in early, it was $400. And if you're planning on playing this game and you watch all the videos and you're really into it, then my suggestion to you would be jump right in and get the $485, because if you're that into the game, it's going to probably be a game that you'll be playing for at least 2.5 years, which will pay for the subscription. The big, big deal on this is that the game isn't going to cost any money. You're only going to be paying for the subscription for the game.
Right.
So that's something to keep in mind. Now, they did have quite a few things inside of the Kickstarter that they were saying that they wanted to add, and different stuff that they plan on adding. I wasn't sure exactly how many servers they were going to start with, specifically because I don't know how many people they're planning on having on each server. So
I can guarantee you they don't know that either.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. Like, when I was playing, like, WoW, the server that we were on was a very low population server. We were playing on, like, Malorn or something, and the low population on there just made it so that you could pretty much dominate anything. So that's something
like
I'm kind of...
$400 server.
It was in, I think, like the 14 or 15,000 or something. It was like nothing.
1,500, you mean?
No, I mean like 1,000.
Okay, 15,000. There was never a server that had 15,000 people on it.
We could agree that maybe it's not, I'm not remembering right. That's fine. But
I've only ever seen
Tichondria
at 3,000.
We'll move on. So I'm just saying, like, in an average MMO, there's thousands of people generally on one server if it's a very popular MMO.
Agree.
Okay. So if in Ashes of Creation it's the same way, then you're going to have people that are just running the entire world. And that's how it is in most MMOs. So one big thing that they said they were going to do inside of this is they're really focusing on the economy. And the economy, the way that they've stated it, sounds like, yeah, sure, it's going to be great. And the guy doesn't want to have pay to win. That's one thing he specifically said. But it seems like if you and your friends all get in on the same server and you're like the biggest, baddest, best, you're going to be dominating pretty much no matter what. Now, I know you said you could take down a city, but like, you know, who takes down Camelot once Camelot's Camelot?
All right, so a couple of mechanics mitigate that somewhat. So guild sizes have a maximum amount.
Okay.
There's going to be some social constructs in a sense. So you can have a guild, but that guild does not own the town or the metropolis. The city government owns the metropolis, and there might be some crossover there, but it's not a hard and fast, you know, they're part of this guild, they inhabit this area. So, and also, even if you're not part of the guild, you could show up to that place, that metropolis, before it becomes metropolis. You could show up there and build a house nearby, and that house would get bigger and bigger. You'd have more status in that that metropolis.
Yeah,
but, and as soon as you get a metropolis, you only have the benefits of that one metropolis. There's five different types of metropolises that can exist. Okay, I think it's militaristic, science, religion, and a couple others I can't remember. But if you have the military one, you don't have the advantages that the other ones do. So yeah, you want more than that.
So, but you're saying these things, and these things are present inside of most games. Like, false. For instance, a guild cap. There's almost always a guild cap. Not yeah, everyone a guild meets cap, it. But like, for instance,
guilds don't have towns.
Okay, and that's fine. So, but there's also, if there's a guild cap, what usually happens is that if the guild cap is extremely low, then people that are friends with those guild players make a sister guild or a brother guild. Usually, I believe they're called sister guilds or daughter guilds or something like that, because you have a parent guild and then you have the children guild underneath it. And so that's essentially what happens. So you have all the guild masters inside of the big, big guild, and they're all the guild masters on alt accounts or whatever you want to call it on the littler guilds. So you have this giant fucking tree of guilds coming all the way down, and that never stops fucking anyone from taking over a place. So
I agree that that generally happens. I also think that this guy is used to that. He's used to being the top dog, so he's probably going to be able to think. If he really wants to detract from this, he's probably going to be able to think of every way that he would get around the restrictions that he puts in place. I think most of it, though, is going to be he's going to add incentives to not do exactly what you're thinking and de-incentivize the things in the same manner. Like one of the ways,
just making the game incredibly difficult.
How would that? That would make people want to do it more.
Because if the game was incredibly difficult, then it'd make it much harder to get alt accounts. You know, like to get high level alt accounts.
Oh, I see what you mean. I think they said something like an average person would get max level in like a month and a half. I think. But that's it's
an
such
average
a
average person. That means that like people like you and me could get it in like 2 weeks.
I don't know. They also specifically said there's not going to be a grind fest to leveling. I'm excited about the crafting systems. I really like the way they're going there. So
I mean,
if you
no doubt it looks interesting. I did watch just the trailer or teaser and whatnot. I haven't nearly seen anywhere close to what you've seen, but. You know, if you guys are interested, by all means, comment. I'm sure Drunk Joe will be more than happy to indulge.
More
and,
than.
And let us know. Check it out. Let us know what you think.
Oh, they did a Q&A today at 3 and I missed it. I gotta watch that.
And if you do plan on playing, also let us know. Maybe we could be the first people to get a guild together.
Ooh. Oh, we could put our referral links in the video. And if people sign up, we get a cheaper subscription to the game.
Yeah, sign up through us, guys.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and I'm going to end it here because otherwise we're going to go way, way far over.
That's true. We've already gone over. Oh, we already did. Yeah.
So, okay. That being said, thanks again for joining us. Please do like, subscribe, and comment. Like we said, we're going to have some links down in the description below along with the timestamps. And yeah, thanks for joining us. Cheers.
Woo.
Woo-woo. See you next time. Thank you.